There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You're living life as a gringo, where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that.
My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course, and it is Thursday, so it means it's time for our Thursday Trends episode. And I'm flying solo on today's show. We've had a bunch of guests, I think, the last few weeks. Maybe not on Thursday Trends, but I know I've been doing very guest-heavy this season thus far. So, flying solo, talking about a couple of different things that caught my eye this last week. We will touch on, I feel like this is like a broken record at this point, but Arizona has a new ban on abortions upholding in ancient law. So, we will talk all about that. We will also get into on the positive, on, I guess, a positive side of things here. Obviously, it is positive. It's not, I guess, positive. Biden announcing a new student loan forgiveness plan. So we'll talk about that. I also wanted to touch on something that I made a video about on my Instagram. And it's this J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar battle. Now, if you are not a fan of either or not a hip hop head, this, don't worry. This isn't like me deep diving into it from a music perspective. I just think it's a really interesting conversation about somebody protecting their peace, and I wanted to dive into that. And on the positive side of things, man, we will celebrate women out here getting the credit they deserve in the sports world. We'll do that in Army Hint this segment. But first, man, let's just dive into some of the heavier topics, the nonsense, the BS, in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so I feel like, again, it's Groundhog Day. History continues to repeat itself in this weird world that we are living in today's day and age. But on Tuesday, the Arizona Supreme Court reinstated a law from 1864 that would ban nearly all abortions in the state. Now, this is a 160-year-old law, which predates Arizona even being a state. And this makes performing an abortion punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison, except when the mother's life is at risk. It does not allow exceptions for cases of rape or incest. The extremists be extreming, right? That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. And even though the majority of Americans believe in the right to choose, I think even in Arizona, the number was like 6 out of 10 people polled believed in a woman's right to choose. We still have the extremists doing their bidding based upon their own religious views at the end of the day, right? And this leads to a whole nother conversation about religion and religious extremism. And for the record, I'm not like an atheist. I believe in God. I go to church every once in a while. You know, I believe in all this stuff, but I also believe in not pushing our own beliefs onto other people and affecting their way of life to basically have to adhere to what we personally believe. And I think this is a lot of what's happening here is you're seeing this religious extremism on the right, this evangelical extremism, and really it's like white evangelical extremism, and they're trying to push their own thoughts and belief systems onto all of us. And it's ironic because they're also the same crowd that claims we're trying to make everybody be gay by selling Pride merchandise in Target during Pride Month. That's literally, these are the people we're talking to, that by having Pride merchandise and having a Pride Month, we're trying to push a gay agenda and force them to adhere to it. Meanwhile, they're literally creating laws and supporting laws and supporting politicians who want to create said laws that would not allow a woman to choose what she wants to do with her body. And it's the hypocrisy of it all that continues to happen. And listen, to be fair, there's hypocrisy on both sides. I think there's extremism on both sides. But I really don't see how you can make those types of arguments and not get the hypocrisy that exists within it. You're saying this is America. We're free to do whatever we want, say what we want, freedom of speech, freedom here, freedom there, right? But we also want you to adhere to what a particular group of people believes in. You don't have the freedom to dictate what you do with your body, right? Or they want to put more religion in the schools or make America a Christian country. And therefore, yeah, it's freedom. America's all about freedom, except when it comes to anything we don't agree with, right? And this is what makes it so difficult to even have these conversations with people who have opposing views, is because they don't even see their own hypocrisy. And when faced with it, they try to figure out a way to argue out of it rather than acknowledge it. You can't have it both ways. You can't say this is the freest country in the world and you know, this is America, we can do what we want, what we feel, and then you're trying to impose your own belief systems on the masses. That's literally what they do in other countries that we look down upon that aren't free, right? You have no choice but to adhere to what the status quo dictates is the right way to live. Yet that's exactly what they're doing with these abortion bans or banning books or, you know, everything else that's going on. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I'm like the typical man in this scenario. Like, you know, when like anybody's in a relationship, and like for me, dating a woman and she's venting about like her day, I would go into the stereotypical male thing of like trying to fix it, right? And be completely unaware of the fact that like she just needs to vent, right? And just wants a place to vent. She's not necessarily looking for me to fix it, right? And I go into that when I talk about politics and things like this, where I'm like, I feel like if I'm bringing you a story here on the podcast or we're having a discussion, I want to have like a happy ending where I fix the problem. And with this, it's like there obviously never is. We're just kind of like talking about what's going on to make ourselves aware of it and to have the conversation. But like, there's no happy ending here. There's no conclusion to it. You know, I wish there was. I that's how I operate. I'm like looking for like, where's the silver lining here? And I guess, you know, there is a little bit here. I mean, so they to finish out this story here, the court has put the law on hold for 14 days and sent the case back down to lower courts to hear additional arguments about the constitutionality. On top of that, there is a 45-day period before enforcement. So this new ban, or this reinstatement of a law from 1864, is not going into effect right away. Now, in the majority opinion, the judges from the Arizona Supreme Court stated that, quote, policy matters of this gravity must be ultimately resolved by our citizens through the legislative or the initiative process. So, as it says here on BBC.com, this puts the ball in the court of state legislators who could cancel the ban. It also opens up the possibility for voters to decide on the issue in November should abortion rights groups in Arizona succeed in putting the question on the ballot. So there's hope here, right, in this story. It's not like this is all said and done and now everybody has to live by that. But this is just becoming a popular thing happening around the country. People wanted to make noise or people wanted to enforce their own, you know, extremist views. And this is the state of the United States that we live in right now, the current state of this country. And yeah, I again, here I am trying to like bring it like, okay, but here's the, you know, whatever, here's the ending of this. It just sucks, man. It's just weird. And again, it's a hypocrisy because you're actually trying to put laws in place here to force people to live by your thoughts on lifestyle, essentially, right? What you think is right. And I think this is, again, the hypocrisy. This is the irony of the arguments where they make it seem like when we're asking for things like more inclusion and diversity, we're forcing our lifestyle onto them. And it's just, that's just a completely different case. Us having more diversity and inclusion in the workplace or in media or any of these things doesn't actually affect your quality of life in a real way. You can change the channel if you don't like what you see on TV. You can find another job if you want to. When it comes to these sort of abortion bans, the woman has no choice. Her life is changed forever by this, right? There's no out for her. She can't, you know, especially if she doesn't have means, they can't just get up and go to another state where it's allowed, right? Because those, again, those are people who are gonna be affected the most, those who can't afford to have the means to go somewhere where this is allowed, where they can make a choice on their body. So yeah, it's obviously incredibly frustrating that we keep having to have these conversations, but here we are, baby, America. On a more positive note here, we have President Biden announcing a new student loan forgiveness plan. Now, he has revised his original plan, and it targets specific borrowers, including those who are eligible for debt cancellation under an existing government program but haven't yet applied, have been in repayment for 20 years or longer on their undergraduate loans, or over 25 years on their graduate loans, attended schools of questionable value, are experiencing financial hardship. So if you meet that criteria, you could have your student loan forgiven here under President Biden. He also discussed his plan to cancel, quote, runaway interest for millions of borrowers. Consumer advocates have long criticized the fact that interest rates on federal student loans may exceed 8%, which can make it tough for borrowers who fall behind or are on certain payment plans to reduce their balances. Some end up owing more than they originally borrowed, even after years of repayment. The Biden administration estimates that if its new plan is enacted as proposed, borrowers will get up to $20,000 of unpaid interest on their federal student debt forgiven, regardless of their income. Certain low and middle income borrowers could have the entire amount of interest that has accrued on their debt since they entered a repayment canceled. Now, this is Biden's plan B, essentially, his plan B student loan forgiveness. They're saying it's narrower than his initial effort. Tens of millions of borrowers may still see their balances erased or lowered if programs survive the legal challenges this time around, though. So even though it's, you know, narrower than the initial, you know, idea that he had, you still could see tens of thousands of dollars erased or lowered. And the administration is confident, believing that it is protected under this updated plan, that it will survive legal challenges this time around for several reasons. Okay. Positive stuff, right? Now, obviously, we're still waiting for this to go into effect, still process, but in an election year, Biden's out here slinging some plans that would help out the everyday person. And I've heard so many
arguments on either side. I've had this discussion with people in my own family who are right leaning, and they're under this idea that if we make it too easy for people, no one's going to want to work hard. That's like the notion, I think the general consensus oftentimes for a lot of people on the right. So if we do things like forgive student loan debt, we're teaching people that they don't have to work hard, right? And it's also sort of spitting in the face of those who did pay off their student loan debt. And this is, again, the hypocrisy of this wing of people, of this group of people, because wanting others to suffer just because you may have doesn't sound very Christian to me. Like, I was going to go on some biblical examples here. I'm trying to be respectful, but at the end of the day, I don't think God would say to us, hey, you suffered a lot in this life, therefore you should just try to make it harder for others as well. Make others have to suffer as much as you did. Make it as difficult for them as it was for you. It's counterproductive to everything that's like morally what we work for as human beings, beyond even religion. I mean, when you think about parents, what's the goal of a parent? I want my kid to have a better life than I did, right? I want them to have an easier time at this thing called life than I did. And we do that because we have a love for these people. Shouldn't we have a love for mankind, for humankind, as a result of that as well, like in the same context of that? That sounds Christian to me. Love thy brother, right? Or Bible stories of Jesus hanging with the people who are the most down and out in society, right? The ones who society had casted aside, he spent time with and shared time with. He didn't judge them, right? Because they deserved to have a better life as well. So this is the hypocrisy of the arguments against this stuff. And again, even just like, let's talk about like numbers and what's right. Look, these loans are predatory by nature, right? The fact that you have what they call runaway interest, the fact that people end up paying more than they borrowed, that they are continuing to get buried under more and more debt because of the predatory interest that happens, right? Like, this system is fucked. This system was designed to take advantage of the everyday person. Unnecessarily, because this still could be a win-win for people. Colleges could still make their money. The student loans, the companies, the banks, the programs putting them out there could still make a profit. But instead of being happy with it being a situation where everybody potentially won, they all decided to be as predatory as humanly possible. Colleges, let's make it incredibly expensive. Let's make all these prerequisite classes that literally add no real value to the student's life, but let's make it a prerequisite so that we can gouge them for more money. So they have to spend more money with us to fulfill the credits needed to graduate. Like, when I went to my first college was a county college. One of the prerequisites was gym or health class. I had to pay to take a health class. Some people paid to take a gym class. In what world does that make sense? That's high school stuff. Things you did throughout high school. But now the college is doing that. Why are they doing it? You're an adult. They don't need to make you work out or teach you about health, especially when you went through health class all throughout middle school and high school. That's a means to gouge you out of money, right? That's $1,000 right there, or whatever it is for your school. I can't remember how much each credit was. That's what that was. It's predatory by nature. Then the student loan companies, gouging the shit out of you, predatory rates, all these different things. It's predatory. And now we're trying to repair that. And yeah, maybe you paid off your loans and maybe you feel a type of way about it. But why would you want everybody else to suffer just because you did? Like, if that's really the case, and I'm sorry if anybody falls under this, but really look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, is this the type of person that I want to be? Do I want to be the type of person that weaponizes my own suffering and wants everybody else to feel as miserable as I did in this particular situation? Because that's not what I want. Listen, my path to getting here, to having you listen to me today, has been tumultuous. I can't begin to explain to you the ups and downs that has led up to me broadcasting this podcast to you today. I've had to earn every second of every word, every conversation that I have here on this show. And just because my path was so incredibly difficult doesn't mean that I want everybody else's to be the same way. That's why I want to give you as much information as I can. I want to educate people, I want to coach people, I want to help people, I want to pass it down. When I have the opportunity, I do my best to put other people in positions to win. Younger than I ever did. I take pride in that. I take pride in the fact that my original photographer, videographer, and graphic designer, I was able to get him a full-time gig doing something that he enjoys doing. He got to quit his engineering job basically within a year of having it, right? Within a year of graduating college. Now this kid gets to live out his 20s doing the work that he loves to do as a full-time job. I couldn't say that at his age. I couldn't say that for probably almost 10 years after the fact, roughly, depending on what we're calling, you know, my creative job that I loved. But that doesn't mean that I want to hang that over his head. Hell no. I want him to be able to get to the good parts as quickly as possible, cut out the bullshit that I had to go through. But that's what it means to, like, care about other people, not just care about yourself. And that's too much of the culture that we live in this country. We're very selfish individuals by nature in this country. I feel like it's a cultural thing. And I think human beings, to a degree, always have that in them. But I think we as a country, our society, the moral standards we have in place, the cultural sort of standards we have in place, is a very selfish one. That's what capitalism is essentially based upon, right? Where it's the idea of profit, 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 success, success, success. And you're regardless of the fucking fires that you're leaving behind you as you create this profit or as you achieve this success, right? We celebrate people on Forbes lists and these billionaire lists and all these things. We make them out to be heroes, regardless of the fact that they are creating their products on the backs of child slave labor, right? Or predatory wages, or the fact that in their company, the CEO is making tens of millions of dollars, if not more, while the average employee is struggling just to get by. And that they are fighting tooth and nail to not have to pay people a fair wage. Meanwhile, they're buying a private island somewhere. And we celebrate those people. Those are the people we hold up on a pedestal. Oh my God, how amazing are they? Look at this. Look at the success. Look at the wealth. Meanwhile, they did it on the backs of people who are struggling to get by when they have so much. That is the norm in our country. That's what we celebrate. And that's why so many people are miserable in this country. And so many people are angry and disenfranchised. Because we've created this culture, we've allowed the wealthy, the elites, to normalize these ideas, to tell us, well, you just have to work a little bit harder, and you too can then be in a position to shit on the everyday person. That's what we've normalized. They've fed us the Kool-Aid and we've drank it up. But it doesn't have to be this way. We could demand better. We could demand people actually giving a shit about one another. That's what's missing. So, yeah, I just went a whole tangent here. But Biden's student loan forgiveness plan, the step in the right direction. And anybody who doesn't understand that, you can play them the rant that I just went on. Now, I also want to get to a lighter topic that I think is a good conversation piece. This rap beef and protecting your peace. We'll talk about that. But let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we are back, and I want to touch on this J. Cole versus Kendrick Lamar rap beef. Again, if you are not a hip-hop head, it's okay. This is more than just about the music. I think it's an interesting conversation to be had. But we'll just do the backstory, quick context backstory here, right? You have J. Cole, you have Kendrick Lamar, and Drake are essentially at the midst of this drama. They're known as like the big three of the hip-hop world, like currently, right? Of still doing it at a high level. And there's always this discussion of who's the greatest, who's the best, and they've all sort of taken shots or claimed that title of the best. And then randomly, Kendrick Lamar drops a verse on Future and Metro Boomin's album and goes at Drake and J. Cole, essentially, right? Claiming himself as the greatest and all these different things, right? So the internet obviously is going crazy. More than anything, people are really interested in hearing J. Cole's response because he's known as, like, you know, a real MC, a guy who really can get things done on the microphone, if you will. And he then drops this surprise project last week. And the last song on the album is his diss track, his response to Kendrick Lamar. And for context, he didn't really go personal. What people call these are like warning shots. Neither one of them really dove in and said anything below the belt. You know, we didn't get like the extreme moment of a rap beef. This was kind of warning shots, essentially. And with that, J. Cole, you know, kind of like diminished some of Kendrick Lamar's albums as not being as good as people hyped them up to be and blah, 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 right? He put out his response. Then over the weekend, you had the Dreamville Festival, which is J. Cole's music festival. On stage, he actually speaks to the crowd and talks about how he doesn't feel right about dropping that diss. He goes on to essentially apologize to Kendrick for the things that he said and that it doesn't sit right with his soul. And because of that, he's going to take it off the album and basically, you know, never perform it or anything like that. So, of course, the response on the internet is, for the most part, not everybody, but I think it's kind of been divided into two camps, where one camp feels like this is rap. It's a sport. It's a blood sport, essentially. J. Cole is, to paraphrase what some of the conversation has been, is a bitch for apologizing after putting out this diss, right? And then the other side of it, where I fall in this camp, is this is just a man accepting that he had a moment where he stooped lower than he would have wanted to, or became somebody that he didn't want to be, was triggered, responded, and now says to himself, I think I'm good. I think I am better than going down this whole rabbit hole of participating in a rap beef. And I think this is a great lesson in the idea of protecting your peace, right? Because let's say they go down this whole, and stay with me if you're not a fan of music, I promise we're getting to something, a lesson here. But let's say they go down this whole path of back and forth, rap disses, rap beefs, blah, 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 and J. Cole ends up having the you know, kill shot, if you will, where it ends it. It's like, oh, he's the clear winner here. And everybody knows it. It's undeniable. The internet is co-signing that. What did he gain out of that situation? Like, what did he really gain? Yeah, in the moment, you're getting the accolades, you're getting the high fives, you're getting the social media responses in your favor, and it feels good for your ego. But truthfully, what are you getting out of that? Personally, I don't see it as gaining much. Now, what did you lose? You lost a lot. Because for however long this would have gone on, let's say it went on for a couple months, you're now having to deal with the negative energy that comes from being in a beef with another human being. You're constantly having to respond to something. You're constantly living in this place of anger. You're having to hear what they say about you, right? They're going to say something hurtful to you. You're then going to have to go dig up something negative about them. And you're literally just inviting more and more negativity in your life because you're participating in a negative situation. And again, for what? So that social media speaks highly of you? So that the internet crowns you as the best, even though in your heart you already feel like you are? Like, there's no winning here. And I use the example in the video I put out. It's like arguing with a troll on social media. I stopped doing it. And every once in a while, I get roped up into it. Somebody says something and I get triggered and I respond. And then I'm immediately reminded of why I never respond to negative comments. Because it never ends. And these are people that don't know you. So they're literally taking shots at you, saying things, doing their best to trigger you. You're then triggered and feel the need to respond. And you're wasting all of this time and energy on somebody who literally doesn't know you, has no real value, has no, you know, weight on your life in a real way. But you're giving them your precious time and energy. You're stressing over it. You're trying to find a response. You're getting angry. You're then fucking up your day right there to respond. Now this becomes the focus of your day. And as I said in the video, even if you end up getting the last word, you still lost because you wasted all this time for no reason responding to somebody that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. And I think this is a lesson of like how we have to kind of look at our lives and really ask ourselves, is the juice worth the squeeze in every situation? Because we only have so much energy in a day, right? We only have so much time. And how many people have like started their day on a bad note, right? It's like, oh, I overslept. And then that sets your day into fucking chaos. I overslept. Now I'm rushing. I spilled coffee on myself. I've got to get changed. I'm even more late. Now I locked myself out of the fucking house because I was rushing and I forgot the keys. Now I have to go find the spare key. More chaos, right? And it's like, it, for whatever reason, when one thing happens, it feels like everything just fucking comes crumbling down, right? And it's because your energy has immediately been shifted into this place of like stress and frustration, maybe anger, sadness, whatever it is. So now everything that happens that normally would happen throughout the day, right? That might not be that big of a deal. It's magnified 10 times because you're living in this place of like this heightened state. You know what I mean? And that is, I think, what people are missing out in this situation and just life in general. When you allow yourself to invite negativity into your life, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to put you into this heightened state of like anxious awareness where you're going to notice every negative thing that happens. You're going to be even more stressed than you would have been by a particular situation. And that's why I give credit to somebody like J. Cole, because he is A, admitting, I put myself in a situation where I reacted and became the type of person I don't want to be. But then B is saying, I'm the bigger man here, or I'm going to be a bigger man in this situation, be a more evolved person in this situation, and publicly take myself out of this, knowing the ridicule is coming because I'm publicly doing this and people are going to have backlash in this world. But I'm saying to myself, I'd rather bear a bit of that embarrassment and shame than invite this negativity into my life by participating in something that I have no real interest in or adds no real value to me other than feeding my ego. That's big, right? To do it on that stage, on that level of putting your ego aside and saying, you know what? Y'all are going to clown me for this on a high, high level, but I refuse to let my ego take the wheel here. I'm going to do what's best for me in the long run. And that's why you salute him. That's why I salute him, I should say. Because that's not easy. That's difficult. Too many of us are so concerned with the opinions of others that we will allow ourselves to keep participating in situations that do not serve us. We would rather avoid the momentary ridicule, the short-term ridicule that might come from people judging us. We'd rather avoid that and live a life of misery or lack of fulfillment just to avoid that one moment. So we'd rather have our entire life be unfulfilling and living it for other people than just having to have the hard conversation and accept the momentary ridicule that might come from us expressing ourselves against the popular opinion. That's the lesson here. You have to protect your peace. And sometimes that might come at the cost of your ego, of validation, of your, you know, peers coming at you in some sort of way. But in the long run, it's worth it. It's far more important than having superficial acceptance from a bunch of people who really don't matter at the end of the day. So that's the lesson I wanted to touch on with that and expound upon. Thank you for indulging me if you're not a fan of like music in general. And this isn't that interesting from that perspective. So I appreciate you. Now, with that said, we're talking about some positivity. Of course, we'll do it in our Mi Gente segment. But first, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, so this really doesn't have anything to do with our community, but I just thought it was really incredible to see in general. And this was the women's NCAA championship game. You had Iowa versus South Carolina, and they crushed the TV ratings. They crushed, like, the men's TV ratings. Like, the final game between South Carolina's Gamecocks and the University of Iowa's Hawkeyes averaged about 18.7 million viewers and peaked at 24 million combined on ESPN and ABC, making it the first time in history that a women's final has drawn a larger TV audience than the men's, and this is according to ESPN. And there were also some other stats out there about how this actually had better ratings than many NBA games. And they're saying, in contrast, the UConn Huskies and Purdue men's final game averaged about 14.82 million on TBS and TNT. So the women's final, for the first time, crushed the men's NCAA Final Four competition here. And this was, you know, much in part to someone like Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa. Unfortunately, Iowa lost, but she's gotten a lot of attention for her play and has been drawing audiences to come see her play in person, celebrities, as well as a lot of these record numbers that we are seeing. And it's just, I don't know, it's a cool moment to kind of see at the end of the day. I think a lot of groundwork has been laid out for these athletes and the you know, female basketball players who have come before them, really fighting to get the attention that their male counterparts get. And obviously there's still a long way to go when it comes to the WNBA and things like that. But I think this is progress at the end of the day, right? This is all that many of us are fighting for and working for. And I think, yes, at the end of the day, it's just a game. It's just basketball. But as I always say, these are the kinds of things that begin to trickle down into every aspect of our society. When you have things in media and entertainment sort of progressing that's where society gets a lot of its cues from. A lot of its social cues come from what we see on television or in movies or in sports. You know, that's where trends come from and things like that. And that's why moments like this are so incredibly powerful, because they transcend the norms and give us a different point of view to look at, and a group of people who have been marginalized now are gaining the attention that they so rightfully deserve. And that's, you know, women athletes and women basketball players specifically here. So I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see that I wanted to kind of celebrate and touch on. Also, if I can, I know I'm getting to very niche topics to a degree with the, not niche, but like, you know, this isn't like a hip hop podcast. My other podcast, The Street Stoic, is. But also wrestling, like WWE, and bear with me here, because I haven't watched wrestling or WWE in years. Like, I probably said I was a teenager was the last time I would actively watch it. I haven't really cared much about it. But TikTok has kind of, like, from afar, I've been paying attention. And I'm really inspired by one of the stories. And I'm going to quickly touch on this. I just think it's incredibly inspiring. So WrestleMania happened over the weekend. You had Cody Rhodes, who is the son of the legendary wrestler Dusty Rhodes. He has been kind of in and out of WWE. And again, I have a loose understanding of this. So it's just basically what TikTok has told me. But basically, Cody had been fighting to become like one of the top dogs in WWE for a long time. Never really quite did it. He ended up leaving. He started his own rival company called AEW, which ended up blowing up. It's now, like, you know, the biggest competitor to WWE, if I'm not mistaken. He starts his company, then leaves that company that he started that became big to return to WWE. And his whole thing has been to finish his story, right? His dream has always been to be the WWE champion. And he felt like nobody was giving him an opportunity. Nobody saw the star that he saw within himself. That's why he left, started his own thing. It blew up. And he came back to now compete at the highest level and to finish his story, finish his dream, his goal, right? And all these obstacles kept happening throughout the time. You know, he fought last WrestleMania, ends up losing, right, the fight. So he doesn't get to win the title there. This year, he's going to get the opportunity again. All of a sudden, The Rock comes back and messes that up, it seems like. But finally, we end up getting the title fight, and Cody ends up winning the belt. And let me tell you this. I, again, am so not invested in this. I know it's fake. But when I saw this man win that belt, I shed some tears. There wasn't a dry eye in the damn house. And it's because it's the underdog story at the end of the day. And I resonate with this so fucking much, man. And I'm sure many people listening to this podcast resonate with that. And here is the moral of that I want to take away for anybody. If you're not a wrestling fan, I think we could apply this to our life. This is what I saw it as and why it was so inspiring to me. Even though it's scripted, right? It's the idea that sometimes people are not going to see the greatness that we have inside of us. For some of us, and I'm speaking to my younger self right now as well, for whatever reason, our greatness isn't as obvious to others as it is to ourselves. Right? And we see sometimes our peers getting celebrated and people being able to see the greatness within them. And we wonder, why is it that nobody can see the same in myself? I know I'm capable of this, but nobody sees it. Nobody wants to give me an opportunity. Nobody appreciates all the work that I'm putting into this. And it's easy in those moments to give up, to lose faith, to think to yourself, maybe this isn't for me. And this is where you have to dig deep and really have the belief in yourself that you are meant for greatness. That regardless if everybody around you sees it or no one does, it doesn't change the greatness inside of you. And yeah, maybe your path is going to be more difficult. As I said, mine has been incredibly tough. But that shouldn't stop you from living out your dreams and achieving your greatest potential. And that's what this story is. This kid felt like nobody saw him for the star that he was and could be in WWE. And a lot of people would have been happy to just be there. They would have said, you know what? I get to compete in the majors of my industry. Maybe I'm not the top tier. Maybe I'm not getting a lot of opportunities, a lot of camera time, but I'm here. I'm in the building. If I'm not mistaken, I think he actually got fired at one point too. So, but that could have been part of the storyline. I'm not sure, right? But either way, whether he got fired or whether, you know, he could have stayed and just sort of been a lower tier guy, regardless, he picked himself up off the floor and said, if you're not going to see it in me, I'm going to go off and do my own thing and build it up so much that you're not going to be able to then deny it anymore. And that's what he did. He went and built a rival company that blew up. And then from there, and some people critiqued him for this, but then from there said, I want to prove to myself that I can compete at the highest level. And I want to finish my story. And then he went out and had the patience to essentially take the loss the first year at WrestleMania. And then go along with the current storyline to eventually finish it. And to me, it's just so inspiring to have that level of patience and to just keep on fighting and to have that sort of belief in yourself to just keep going, to just keep fighting for what you know you deserve. And I think for me, I get emotional whenever I see people getting their just due. Because I know what that feels like. I know what that chase feels like. And I hunger for that feeling, you know? And I think maybe it never really comes, you know, or for some people like him, it did. It really, he was able to really live out that moment, you know, where he was able to say, I did it. There's no questions about it. I did exactly what I set out to do. I'm here and I arrived. And I think maybe I'm still waiting for that moment to a degree as well. Maybe that's something I need to work on or figure out what that actually looks like for me at the end of the day. But that's a conversation for another time. I just wanted to share that because I thought it was really inspiring as well for even if you're not a wrestling fan. Like, again, I'm just watching through TikTok clips and I'm just like crying for no reason. But I think because it speaks to me, it speaks to the underdog in me and my love for the underdog at the end of the day. So, yeah, that's that. Now we're going to quickly tie everything we talked about today in a neat little bow. In a second, we call Conclusion Stu.
Time for Conclusion Stu.
All right, so quickly touch on all we did. The right is just tripping right now, man. Another Arizona, like the Arizona Supreme Court reinstating a law from 1864 about abortion bans. This is the world that we live in, man. People are really going to the extreme on everything, and it's quite scary at the end of the day. That's all I could say about it. Hopefully this ends up on the ballot in November. But yeah, just the hypocrisy of it all, man. It really is just like, it's not surprising, but it's disappointing. Biden announcing the student loan forgiveness plan. Great stuff here. Again, if you have a problem with this, look yourself in the mirror and say, why do I want other people to suffer? These student loans were obviously predatory. The idea of college in general has been predatory. That's the top of another conversation. Why wouldn't we want to try to add some relief to people? Life is already hard as it is, right? If you paid off your student loans already, God bless you, but also understand that you did it in a time where home buying was still probably affordable. I was reading something where they were talking about the popularity of million-dollar homes in the United States. And I'm seeing it in New Jersey. Like, areas that I grew up around that aren't the best areas, houses going for like $600,000. And then the areas that are like nicer, and when I say nicer, I don't mean like you're going and living in a mansion in a gated community, million-dollar homes. Nice homes, but to me, not worth $1 million based on where they're located. But that's the life, you know, the life that we're living in right now in this country, the reality of it. So now the cost of living is far higher. Pay hasn't really caught up to that. People need relief. Why punish them, or why not try to provide them with some sort of relief for circumstances they could have planned for, but also programs that were predatory by nature? Like, yeah, I don't care if I do or don't have student loans, if I paid them off. I want everybody's life to be a little bit easier. I want this country to be a little bit better of a place and people to be a little bit happier, regardless if it helps me or not. I don't qualify for this. So at the end of the day, like, this does nothing for me, but I support it because I know a lot of people, it's going to be a huge game changer for them. So that's that. And then this whole J. Cole and Kendrick beef, listen, protect your peace, man. Even if it comes at the expense of being slightly embarrassed by others' opinions, people's opinions do not matter. They should not matter at the end of the day. What matters is how you're spending your time and energy, and if you're using it in a way that is productive and a way that you can be proud of. And that's the decision that J. Cole made by dropping out of this and apologizing. He knew that he didn't want to invite negativity into his life. He knew that wasting more time on this would be a disgrace of all that he's built and the legacy he wants to leave behind and what he wants to do in his life. And he bowed out publicly, and he's going to take the ridicule, but his life is going to be better and more peaceful for it. And then, man, women out here just crushing it. Caitlin Clark really leading this charge with the NCAA championship TV ratings, outpacing the men. Just absolutely amazing stuff. Honorable mention, shout out to Cody Rhodes finishing the story. Again, I'm not a wrestling fan, but fuck, I just love when an underdog wins. That's it. That's where I'm at. And with that said, thank you all so much for tuning in. Man, we dropped some new Just Be merch. I'm really proud of this. JustBe.nyc, that's my wellness brand. And it's really cool. It's not like, you know, logo type of thing. It's literally like a positive message I'm trying to instill into people is be you. So we have some beautiful embroidered sweatshirts. We have some cool hats. I'm actually, if you're watching the video version, we have these beautiful embroidered hats that say be on them, right? So just be you at the end of the day. I'm proud of them. They come in a bunch of colors. Perfect for spring. And yeah, that's it. JustBe.nyc if you want to check those out. With that said, I'll catch you on Tuesday with a brand new episode. Until then, stay safe. We'll talk soon.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.